Well, good morning. Welcome in the name of the Lord. I am so blessed to be back here at Sitka Baptist. I was sitting there at home yesterday afternoon or midday, and I got a text from your pastor wanting to know if I would be able to come preach today. And, you know, normally I have a couple weeks to prepare. And I always believe, and since I've been called to preach the gospel, which, by the way, we've all been called to do that. But since I've been called to preach the gospel, I've always said that I will never turn down the opportunity to fill the pulpit, no matter how short of notice, because the Lord has a message. And the Lord's always got a message for the believer. Those who truly believe, he's got a message. Sometimes we struggle with that. When we're out amongst our circles of friends in our communities saying, I don't know how to preach the gospel. I don't know how to say what I feel on my heart. Well, the scripture says not to prepare for that, for the Holy Spirit will speak for you. And there's many times when you've walked away from a conversation and you've quoted scripture and never even realized you've done it until it was done with. And you think, well, where did that come from? Well, that comes from the Lord himself. So I just want to say I am so thankful again to be able to be here and to present what God lays on my heart. We just mentioned a few moments ago, I heard the brother ask if everybody had a good Christmas. I would like to ask you this morning, are you still having a good Christmas? And you'll understand that question as I continue on with my message this morning, because Christmas isn't just about December 25th. Back in November, it was like Thanksgiving came on and all the decorations for Christmas came up at the same time. And in years past, I would have said, really? Are we trying to push this a little bit? We're going straight, not even out of Thanksgiving, into Christmas. And for some reason, this year, in the past 10 years, Christmas has been more of a callous time for me. It's been Christmas music again. We three kings of Orient, or oh little town of Bethlehem. Really? Again and again? And for some reason, that has just been real. And it may be like that for you from year to year, from time to time, where it's just, again, can we do something new? Do we really have to start singing Christmas carols already? But for some reason, the Lord has spoken to me this year, and I've been revived with Christmas. I've been singing the Christmas carols since they came on back at Thanksgiving. And I went Christmas caroling for the first time probably in about 6 or 8 years this year, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just, it's an exciting time. I think the Lord has spoken to me very clearly through the Christmas story of Mary and Joseph and the baby and the manger and the wise men and the kings and the angels which sang a glorious hallelujahs to our King has come. There's just so much about the Christmas season. I went to a Christmas children's play last Sunday evening, I guess it was, yes. And it was pretty interesting because the windows had been covered in the church and everything had been decorated. And when they turned the lights down, the first thing out of, they couldn't make it dark in there. You want to know why? It's hard to keep the light out of the church. Amen? It's hard to keep the light out of the church. And when the lights went down, and I thought, okay, a Christmas play by children. Yay. Right? You with me? But this year it was more like, yay! I am excited. And it truly was. It was children that I didn't know. And they performed the story of A Christmas Carol with Scrooge. And as each scene went on and the children came in and they sang their Christmas songs and their carols, it was just, your heart just leaped with joy. I was just excited about being there and watching the story of Christmas unfold once again. Christmas is a special time of season. It's more than just opening gifts. It's about the gift. And we say that. We teach our children that, right? My daughter came home from Virginia this year, and as she was coming home, she's bringing home my grandson. He's just over 3 months old. And I told her, I said, now what does, his name is Porter, and I said, what does Porter need? I mean, really? What, you want more clothes? Really? You know, I'm going to buy you clothes and he's going to grow out of them before you take the tags off of them. What does he need? And I said, what do you need? I said, I don't even know what your house is like, because she lives in Virginia, her and her husband, and they're so far away. I know what she's like, but you know what it's like when you start out on your own. You build your own home. You make your own home out of your own stuff and your own little knickknacks, and you have your own little drawer where you pile all your junk, right? And so what does her home look like as far as, I haven't seen it. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm not buying you anything. I said, this may seem very commercialized, but I'm just going to give you two money and let you buy what you need. Because he's a golf coach for a university out in Virginia. And I said, you know, the last thing he wants is something for golf, right? I mean, he loves golf and that's his passion, but the last thing you do is buy. I work at a semi-trailer manufacturer. I don't want somebody to buy me a little Tonka truck. I mean, really. That's what people think of, is who you're made of and what's made up, what makes you up. So I told her that's what I was going to do. And she said, you know what? We're teaching Porter. We're going to teach him. I said, no, what are you going to teach him? And she said, I think we're going to celebrate his birthday, make it a big hoopla with gifts. And on Christmas, teach him to go out and help serve others more than about receiving gifts. And I thought that was a good teaching. So I'm very excited about it. I'm excited about some new things that I've learned about Christmas this year. If you're bored with Christmas, read the Christmas story and keep reading it, because God will speak to you through a baby in a manger. And that's kind of where I want to go this morning. If you would, and you brought your Bibles, and I pray that you have, I'm going to trip you up here real quick because I like to do that. I want to take you to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we will then go back to Luke chapter 2. But I'd like to start with Luke chapter 24, and you'll understand probably why as we go along here a little bit. And if you're able, would you stand in honoring of reading the Lord's Word? If you're not, I understand, but I believe in standing when we read the Scriptures. In Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed throughabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told of them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told of unto them. If you would, join me in a word of prayer. Glorious Heavenly Father, we come this morning, Lord, still celebrating the Christmas day, the Christmas spirit, the celebration of your Son coming to this earth in the form of a child, but yet also in the form of a man. The Bible says, Lord, that he humbled himself in the form of a servant so that we could be saved, so that we would be lifted up in life. So, Lord, as we go through your scriptures this morning, I pray for your Holy Spirit's guidance to reach out and speak to each of our hearts. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was really, really praying over whether to read Luke chapter 24 or 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 because these scriptures are usually based around the Resurrection Sunday. You call it Easter, I call it Resurrection Sunday. These scriptures are typically used when we enter in that time of spring, of speaking about how Christ on Good Friday was taken to a cross. He went through a trial that he didn't deserve to have, and he went to a cross and was crucified. Now, I want you to stop and think about something. I just heard the other day about the crucifixion the pastor read right over, and it just went boom and hit me right in the heart. Do you know that Christ was on the cross and dying for our sins, but he had not sinned? Let me say that again. He was on the cross dying for our sins, but he had not sinned. Now, if I remember what the Bible says about sin is what in Romans? For the wages of sin is death. Well, how and why could he be on that cross? He hadn't done anything. His entire nature said not to be there. Everything about what the Word says not to be there. He could not die on that cross. He couldn't, because he can't die. Why? Because he was without sin. Does this all make sense? Am I coming through? Because it hit me just all of a sudden the other day. It's like, really? I always just thought the Lamb of God went to the cross. He died there for my sins and went on. My sins were placed upon his shoulders. Okay. But he had no business being there, and I understand that. But how could he die? There was something that took place just moments before the scripture says that he gave up the ghost, before he gave up his spirit to the Heavenly Father. If you talk about and think about what he said at the Lord's Supper or the communion time, when he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." But we know that his body wasn't broken, right? There's nothing in the scriptures that says anything. They went to break his legs but found that he was already dead. There was nothing broken about him except one thing. The one thing that was broken was the relationship for a moment in time between him and his Father. Because God cannot look upon sin, right? And we read in the scriptures where there in a moment of time that God turned his back on his Son. Why did he turn his back? Because at that moment, he couldn't die until then. Until that moment, until the sins of the world were placed down upon his shoulders on that cross. At that moment, he could die. Not before. There was nothing that any man could have done to Christ. When he was in the garden and they came to arrest him, they couldn't have murdered him there. They could not have brutally killed him because he could not die. Why? He was without sin. And without sin, you can't die. And he's the only one. And so this whole concept has really just been made alive with me. You guys may have already grasped this years ago. But that's okay, because I want you to know that I'm excited because I serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior, the song says, because He's in the world today. I serve Him. Why? Because He's here inside me. And it all started some 2,000 years ago in the little town of Bethlehem. I am so thankful to walk into your sanctuary and still see that it is still Christmas. It's still Christmas. But let me ask you this. Is it still Resurrection Sunday? Do we celebrate Resurrection Sunday as quickly as it comes and goes? Christmas, here in a few weeks, the beautiful tree and its array and its lights and its greatness, and in a sense, and all the wreaths and the candy canes. I love candy canes. You got to have candy canes in Christmas. There's a story behind the red and white stripes, by the way, that has to do with Christ. All these things will be put into boxes, except the candy canes, they'll get eight. All these things will be put into boxes and put up on shelves until next Thanksgiving. And we will have set Christmas aside once again until our culture says to bring it back out. Here in a few short months, we will celebrate Resurrection Sunday, as our culture says it'll be okay. We battle the manger scenes in the courthouse lawns. We battle the resurrection scenes around our communities of the crosses with the purple linen or the white linen that are hung on them. We go to battle for those things each and every year. You can open up the newspapers, or you can read it or hear it on the radio every year, the same conversation about the manger scenes. But just as quickly as we box everything up and put it away, the conversation goes away. It'll come back next year. You can guarantee it, unless Christ comes back, and then they'll be wondering where the church went. Amen? But these things are going to be put away. You know, many of us have probably, we've lost loved ones or been to funeral services, and you've probably said this yourself, where you've walked up to someone and said, if there's anything I can do, let me know. And do you know, typically within about a week or less, the only people that are standing there still with the grieving hearts are the ones that were affected immediately. As though you have gone and meant in your heart, if there's anything I can do, let me know, you've gone on about your life, leaving those who are grieving behind to put the pieces of their lives together. And unless they contact you, well, they may come to heart and they may come to mind. But for the most part, they're grieving. Grievingness, is that a word? Forgive me if it's not. Is left up to them. Christmas is kind of the same thing. Resurrection Sunday is the same thing. These celebrations that God has given us will come and go as quickly as we allow, as our culture allows us to happen. And why do I say that, and I bring you to Luke chapter 2, is because there's some things that are brought up there that really leap off the pages. And the first one is the reflection of our Christmas time. Now, these things are very important, and when I finish up, I want you to understand why. Because as we reflect, what are we reflecting on? And it says there in verse 19, it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. These things that had been told to her about her son. These things that had been told about her, how she was going to have this baby. And his name was going to be named Emmanuel. God is with us. And how she is going to, she didn't get pregnant by her husband Joseph. It was all by the Holy Spirit. All these things she kept in her heart. She reflected on them. And some of the things we just need to continually to reflect on. I encourage you sometime around, let's just say, pick a date. February 14th, that's a good one because that'll be the next thing that comes up in Walmart. Is on February 14th, why don't we stop and think about the virgin birth? What was the purpose of the virgin birth? The virgin birth is exactly what I just explained, without sin. We quickly go from the virgin birth into, if you follow the scriptures and all the gospels, we'll find that we go straight almost into John the Baptist. And we move on to Christ's ministry. Which is, the virgin birth leads us into Christ's ministry. The virgin birth leads us into a pathway of salvation to the gift that God's given us. The gift isn't the baby. The gift is what's going to take place about 33 years later after the crucifixion. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says, O death, where is your sting? Because life, victory has been given to us through salvation in Jesus Christ. The gift is the baby, but it goes much deeper than that. It goes so much further than that. It goes all the way to the empty tomb. It goes all the way to where we find in Acts chapter 2 or 1, the disciples are standing there going like this. And once again, we find men in white linen saying, why do you look? He's going to return from the same place that he came. He's going to come. He's going to split the eastern sky wide open. And those which are dead first will rise and go to meet him in the air. And those who are left here will go following them. That's the rapture of the church, the taking up of the church. That is where we will go spend eternity. We will spend eternity in heaven with God if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that you do. So the virgin birth on February 14th. Reflected in your heart. Or the visit by the angels. The Bible says to be... pay attention how you entertain strangers. Be careful of how you treat others. Treat them with kindness. Treat them with love. Treat them with affection. Treat them like they were family, because you might be entertaining angels unaware. You very well could be. The next grumpy person you meet at Walmart might be an angel sent by God just to put you in your place, to help you to reflect in your heart. The Christmas story. People are very quick this time of year to give to those who are less fortunate. We're always seeking this time of year as to how, and Thanksgiving is another time. How can I provide a meal for those people? Maybe little Susie and little Johnny, we know they're not going to have Christmas. So churches get together, or groups of people get together and provide gifts. So that when they wake up on Christmas morning, they can see how the Lord has blessed them. But come return day, it's all given shoulders and elbows who's going to get in line first. Because I've got things to do. I've got an agenda to get back to. Be careful of how you entertain strangers, because you may be entertaining angels unaware. That just means that the Lord may be putting people there to help you get things back in line. We look at, there was no room in the inn. There's a story about how Jesus came to the man's house several times through the night, and he knocked, and I don't know how it all goes, but one of the times is he needed a place to stay, and he said, you took me in. Somebody come knocking on your door today, you're going to look through the blinds before you even begin to open the door. And there's reasons for that. Our culture has developed us that way. But what happens if that person was really in need? Would you make a place for them? Would you provide a pillow and blanket, a comforting place to get in out of the cold? Or would you send them off to your stable? Would you treat them like animals? There's a lot of stuff to think about, to reflect about, to ponder in our hearts throughout the entire year about the Christmas story. C.S. Lewis said, quote from him, it says, "We don't need to be told new ideas so much as we need to remember the old truths." We don't need a new idea, a new concept to be told to us. We just need the old truths to be brought to light to us again. God gave himself for us, born that we might be born again into God's family. I looked up the word reconciliation. Reconciliation, if you read in a worldly dictionary, in a world text, it just means to befriend again. It's about that simple. Just to make friends once again. But to be reconciled by God means so much more than that. We separated ourselves from God through the sins in our life. God hasn't gone anywhere. He's just waiting for you to answer his call. He's just waiting for you to accept the Christmas story, accept the gift, accept the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not that he wants the world to have everlasting life. He wants you. He wants you to know that he offers you everlasting life. And all it does, all it means is to believe. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's faith. I had a dear friend come to me the other day. He said he had a friend come to him to his house, and his friend is an atheist, so to speak. He's an antichrist, if you will. And he said, this man is going through a lot of trouble. He's going through trouble that his mom is about to pass away. You know, he just lost his dad 6 months ago. And he said the guy came to his house and they were talking, and the guy just had this look on his face of confusion, and this look of, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't even know how to make a decision in my life. Everything around him just seemed to be crumbling. And the dear friend of mine, he says, I didn't know how to speak to him because all he's going to do is reject because he's so mad at God right now. And I said, I understand. And we search our hearts and try to figure out how to speak to people like that, right? How do we speak to people who are anti-Christ? How do we speak to people who just flat reject the gospel? Well, my Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. It doesn't come by Jeff Sheffey. You hear what it says? Faith, your faith comes by hearing the word of God. I said, you know, there's something that I do at graduation times. I don't believe in buying cards. What's going to happen with a card a few minutes after they read it, right? And it's not that I'm really that tight with my money, but I am that tight with my money, if you're just going to throw it away. So I buy a box of envelopes anyhow to pay my bills with, so I just take an envelope, and I put the gift inside the envelope, but on the outside of the envelope, I usually write some type of scripture on the outside. For instance, I gave one to a young man this last year, and it said this. It says, without vision, the people will perish. What's your vision? That's what I told him. Do you realize I just gave him one of the Proverbs and he didn't even know it? Do you know his faith is being built by hearing the word of God and he didn't even know it? See what I'm saying? You can just talk scripture all you want. And unless you say, did you know the Bible says? And what's the first thing people do when they hear that? Right? But when you say, you know, there is strength in faith. He didn't say what their faith needed to have strength, what their faith needed to be in. But if you told them, they wouldn't listen. But if you just start using a little bit of scripture here and there, not using it out of context, but using it here and there, people's faith will grow. I can sit here and I truly believe that I could just do nothing but read the Bible to you today, and your faith will grow without hearing a message, my message, what God has led on my heart. So we need to ponder these things. We need to constantly remember that Christ was born of a baby. He was placed in a manger. He was visited by shepherds. And what did the shepherds do? We found in verse 20, it says, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God." Praising God after the Christmas story. They came praising God on February 14th, July 4th. They came praising God on Mother's Day and Father's Day. They came praising God. Why? For all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. We praise God for everything that we see, we hear, we touch, we feel. When you wake up in the morning, you wake up praising God for the breath of life that He's given you. And as you go through your day, whether you enjoy your job or not, you should praise God for it. You want to know why? To be going out and saying, "I don't like my job," is saying that you're not happy with what God's giving you. Right? God has placed you in that job or in that position for a temporary time. When He's ready to take you out of it, He will. It's not your choice. It's His. And He's placed you there. And when He's ready to move you, He will. He will allow the circumstances to fall as they need to fall. Some people like to think that their boss fired them. But in reality, God is moving you on into a new missions field. He's moving you into a new part of your life. The Bible and the Old Testament has some 225 times of the word praising God. I would like to just share a couple of them with you. From the book of Psalms, Psalms 117. Matter of fact, any of the Psalms around the teens, the 100 and teens are real good ones just to sing praises. I mean, 111 starts off, "Praise ye the Lord." 112, "Praise ye the Lord." 113, "Praise ye the Lord." 115 talks about praising His ever-loving kindness. Well, 116, "I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplication." I love the Lord because of who He is. Sometimes we just want to use "praise the Lord" because, or "hallelujah." But there's more to it than just saying "praise the Lord." Praise the Lord for what reasons? Praise the Lord for His greatness, for His generosity, for His activity in your life. Praise the Lord for His majesty, for His love. Praise the Lord for His grace. I praise the Lord for Him being my friend. I praise the Lord for His everlasting kindness. I praise the Lord for never leaving me, but for always standing beside me. I praise the Lord as I travel through the valley of the shadow of death, that He lifts me up and He carries me through. I praise the Lord that while I'm in the valley, I know He's going to put me on the mountaintop. There's so many things to praise the Lord for. Psalms 117, "Praise you the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever and ever." His truth endures forever and ever and ever and ever. What He has told you in His word will endure forever. The Bethlehem story will endure forever. Why do so many people have a problem with the time of Christmas? Because at the very name of Jesus, some 2,000 years later, He's still intimidating people. That's why. Because He's real. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus for being real. Jeremiah says, "Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord. For He hath delivered the soul of the poor from the evildoer." as wickedness piles up around you, as ugliness, as darkness seems to encompass your life, just stand back and praise God. I think of many reasons why. When my life seems like everything's crumbling in around me, I praise God. Why? Because He has counted me as being able to endure it. Just like He did Job. He said, I'm going to allow you to go through this fire. I'm going to allow your back to be put up against the sea as Pharaoh and his armies comes charging towards you, and it looks like no end, because your faith is going to stand strong. You know that I'm going to come through. James says that I'm blessed because of that. You are blessed when everything around you seems to be falling apart, because God is saying, I know your faith. I know your love for me. So that we have a lot of things to praise the Lord for. Just last week, I thought I was on my deathbed. I had this flu thing that was going on, and I went come home from work about 3:30 in the afternoon. I went to bed and woke up the next day to go to work at 4. I was just done. And you know, as I was laying there, most people were thinking, Lord, is it time for me to come home? I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, praise you. Thank you for allowing me to at least have some rest. Because I'm the type of person, I'm on the go, 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 go. And He knows that if I don't get sick and if He don't lay me down in my bed, I'm going to keep going. Matter of fact, during that week, I went out and ran a 5K race in Lafayette during that sickness. And He said, I'm going to slow you down. He said, I am in charge, not you. You need rest. And He placed me there in my bed, and I could just sit there and I just praised Him. You know, Mary was told by the angel that you are going to have a son, and his name is going to be called what? Emmanuel, which means what? Did He go somewhere? I ask you, church, today, did He go somewhere? Is His name still not Emmanuel? Is God not still with us? Does He not reign here? The Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there with you. Is He not here? But yet, Christmas has come, Christmas will go. Emmanuel must have went with Him, with it all. We put Him up on the shelf. He's in those boxes decorated with a sign on the front that says, Christmas decorations. No. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, is here with us. He wasn't meant to stay as a baby, and He wasn't meant to stay on a cross. He wasn't meant to stay in a tomb. He was meant to rise again to get in the newness of life so that we could have life. Emmanuel is with us. So, to close out in Luke chapter 2, I want to back up to verse 17. And these shepherds who had seen the angels in the field, where those angels lit up the sky proclaiming the Lord's birth, where they went to Bethlehem and saw the baby in a manger, and the sheep and the goats and the donkeys and the cattle and all that other stuff. And they went and they saw the baby there. It says in verse 17, and when they had seen, they had made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. During the Christmas season, the battle of all these things that I just spoke about takes place. And they all go away just as quickly as they came on. And as I said, they will come back next year. And as we package up our nativity scenes and our Advent candles, and we put the trees away and the wreaths and packages and all this stuff, and the moment in time, this is something that for a moment, you sit there and you watch these presents pile. Somebody told me at work the other day that they had presents piled around their tree this tall. Can you imagine all the little kids standing around and looking and wondering, and for how long does it take for that stack that tall to be opened? Just a moment in time. And then after that moment in time, I watched at my mother's house as all the grandbabies went through and they opened up all these gifts, and they were all looking at all these gifts, and then you know what they did? They went to the toy room and brought out the old ones and played with them. Right? So in a moment of time, all this stuff is gone by. It's here and it's gone. And the thing about it is, you stood your ground with the nativity scenes. You may have stood in your homes and in your families, and you've tried to tell the children and family members, what is the reason for Christmas? Santa Claus? Singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Jingle bells? All those things are fun, and those bring on joy, and those bring on happiness through the Christmas season. But we try to tell all those loved ones around us is the reason for Christmas is the baby in the manger. Now we are working towards our New Year's, headed quickly towards February 14th, where we can all look googly-eyed at one another and our loved ones and all that stuff. And you know what everybody really is looking at? Do you still celebrate Christmas? Or are you just like everyone else? Have you put everything up in the boxes and waiting for what culture says is the next holiday? Are you still celebrating the resurrection? Resurrection Sunday? Do you still celebrate giving thanks? See, the Lord has given us opportunity throughout the year to remember Him and to proclaim Him. And if you look at them, they're pretty well divided up. And the world is looking at you, they're looking at me as the church, the believers, and saying, 2 weeks later, where is your Christmas? Where is your Resurrection Sunday? Where's that celebration? We should be like the shepherds, going out and proclaiming abroad, Christ still is in Christmas. Christ is still in January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. For 365 days a year, Christ is still alive. And He's alive in me. Are you willing to celebrate Christmas as everybody else packages it up and puts it away till next year? Maybe you're here this morning. How did I get up here? Maybe you're here this morning. And God has spoken to you. Maybe you have had a calloused Christmas. And you don't find the joy anymore. It just happened again. It'll happen next year. I want you to ponder the things that happened 2,000 years ago and as to why. The Lord knew you were going to be sitting here this day. There was a reason why I got a text yesterday in the middle of the afternoon to come preach. Because you were going to be here. And the Lord knew that. And He knew that we needed to hear that Christmas isn't over. It doesn't need to be packaged up and put away. It needs to be proclaimed. So maybe you're asking the Lord to rekindle that fire in your heart. Today the Lord's spoken to you. Maybe you are an antichrist. Maybe you don't know Christ.
Maybe you thought it was about the baby, let's move on. You didn't realize that Resurrection Sunday is tied into Christmas. And that's about you being reborn again as Christ was born. This morning, whatever the reason is, I want to offer you the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation that doesn't come from any person here. It doesn't come from any words that I speak. It comes from the Lord God, and it comes from His Word. And it says that you are a sinner as I am a sinner. And you are in the need of a Savior as I am in the need of a Savior. And the wages of my sin is death, and the wages of your sin is death. We can't get around that. And God has brought you here today to understand that He loves you. He wasn't just born so that the world had something to religious to worship to. He was born so that He could die, so that He could rise, so that you could live. Let me be quite frank here for a moment, real quick, and then I'll close out. There are two very real places. One is called heaven. And I don't think I've ever met anybody that says they don't want to go there. The other real place that exists is hell. It is a literal place. And you are created with a soul. That soul has to go somewhere when you die. It really does. It doesn't just go out floating around into the air. It's going to reside for eternity in one of those two places. And depending on the decision you make here today could depend on where that soul of you, where you reside for eternity. Because see, as soon as we leave here, we don't know what's going to happen. God's in control of that. And He could say that right now, at the moment of time, is the end of your days. And if you haven't made that decision, the decision will be made for you. It's not what I say, it's what God says. It says, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come the last day that you take breath on this earth, God will make the decision for you, and you will be eternally separated from Him forever in hell. No getting out, no plea bargaining, no begging, not even the very loudest screams that you can make. It will draw you out of that place. So I ask you here today, do you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, or do you reject Him? You may have already accepted Him, but accept Him again. That's okay. I'm not saying get saved again. I'm saying accept Him again. Say, I just proclaim that I still got Jesus. But if you're here and you don't, today's the day. Don't walk out on Jesus today. As you stand, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we go to the hymn of invitation. Lord gracious Heavenly Father, we come here this morning, Lord, and we've heard Your Word. We've heard the Gospel. We've heard what You have laid on our hearts to hear. We've heard about the death, burial, and resurrection, but we also heard where it started. Lord, Christmas should not be over today. It should not be over this week or next week. We should celebrate Christmas as we do resurrection every day. Lord, may we ponder the things in our heart. May we proclaim the name of Jesus. And Lord, may we praise His name without fear and without doubt. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that through Your Word this morning, You have spoken to their heart, and today will be the day of their salvation. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I was hoping somebody's coming forward to lead it because you don't want me to lead it.
I'm close, family. But I'm going to change it to hand number two.
Thou art. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. I pray that as we leave this place, that you will proclaim the time of Christmas in the Spirit with a joyful sound. Singing Christmas hymns, if that's what it means, caroling, Wouldn't it be great to be caroling in the middle of March about our Lord and Savior? As we leave here, I'm going to pray, but I ask the Lord just give you journey's mercies to take you out into the missions field, in your circles of life, and the people will see the light of Jesus in you. Lord Jesus Christ, as we leave this place, Lord, we just praise you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we ask for journey's mercies as we travel amongst our ways. Lord, asking you to use us as instruments in your hands. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.